Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just like it sounds, just spell it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. And you can subscribe to my free newsletter. You can subscribe to my blog. The newsletter comes on Sunday in the afternoon by email. The blog comes by real simple syndication Monday through Friday. And it's one of the very few multimedia blogs out there. So I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. And all the other things you can do on our website, including finding out more about our good friend Stephen Little. Stephen S. Little has been a friend of ours for a while. He's the author of the 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. He is the former president of a number of fast growth companies. He now spends his time teaching people and speaking to audiences all over the country and halfway around the world about how they can grow their small businesses, but also how large organizations can help small businesses grow their organizations, which I think is a very important thing to do. He's our good friend, Stephen. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. And now, Steve, you've been traveling across the country. You crisscross the country speaking to small business groups, chambers of commerce, and large organizations as well who want to reach small businesses. And what would you say is the tenor of what you're hearing out there? What's your sense of the attitude of the marketplace with regard to small business right now?
Well, it's a good question, and because it has changed, you know. There was a number of years there where I could have said, coming out of September 11th, the feeling or the general tenor, as you called it, the notion was that everyone was tentative. That was, you know, my overall impression is people were cautiously optimistic but tentative. And it's just been this year that even though the numbers were showing us perhaps that people should have been optimistic, people are optimistic, and which I find fascinating, because there's, you know, maybe some reasons when with interest rates rising and things not going as well as we'd like it to overseas with some of the problems over there, but optimism is what I'm finding. Now, it's completely unscientific, Jim. I don't take polls of these audiences. I can just tell you that if you do it every day, you know, I was just in places like Grand Junction, Colorado, and Temple, Texas, but also Detroit, Michigan, and Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how big the audience is, when they come up to me afterwards is when I really notice that they're asking me questions that are on the side of optimism, rather than challenging me. Even right. A year ago, it was, well, yeah, you know, it'd be great to hire new people if I wasn't firing the ones I've got, or, you know, right. Something like that.
And so they're focusing more on their opportunities than they are on their challenges now, aren't they?
That's been my general sense, and that's not just true with when I get the small business owners together. It's also true with the large organizations with which I work and the associations that I'm working with. Everyone's just, in general, feeling pretty good about the future.
Well, you know, Steve, after we went through the 90s, the rock and roll 90s, which basically was, as you and I both know, so much of the prosperity that we had during the 90s was based on a lie, basically. It was based on people trying to dismiss the laws of economics. And then we came through the events of 9/11, and then the corporate malfeasance, downer that we had, and then we've had, you know, we had the war in Iraq, and we've had so many other issues, including the interest rates going back up, the fuel prices going back up, and the hurricanes and all that sort of thing. You get the feeling that people keep looking around saying, how much more can this economy take? But when they look up again, the economy is still doing well. I mean, even in third quarter, Steve, as you know, third quarter this year with all the hurricanes, they're now ratcheting up the growth to 4.3%.
4.3, yeah.
And so when they look around, they're saying, hey, wait a minute. Maybe this economy is real. Maybe I shouldn't be as – it's okay to be cautious, but maybe I should be a little – take a few more risks.
What do you think? And what it leads them to is that I do a lot of work speaking to groups about growth, and what it leads them to is, where am I going to find the people to help me grow?
That's
because
exactly
they're now
right.
seeing the businesses there, and now they're saying to themselves, well, I've even, it, what I've noticed, and you've noticed this too, I know, Jim, 15 years ago, they would have said, where am I going to get the money to do this?
Right.
Well, banks are lining up to
right.
fund these efforts, you know? And so,
you know why, don't you? Because banks have figured out that they're not going to make it in the 21st century without small business.
Well, and they've also figured out that the net worth, that you know, I call it getting their small business checking account or getting the mezzanine financing, that's a tentacle into a high net worth
right.
individual. And they've figured
right.
out that math. And
yeah.
So yeah, they love small business. And
well,
so,
see, small banks have always known that. That's
yeah.
always been the mantra and the business model for independent community banks and the small
communities,
regional
right.
banks. But the big banks, the Bank of America's and all those big national banks and large regional banks,
yep.
they're just now getting it, that they can't just cherry pick small business. They've got to go after all small businesses and small business owners. That's good news for you. 22. We'll be right back with Stephen Little right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting in the evening calm.
Watching the late, great Otis Redding, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our friend Stephen S. Little, the author of The 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. Stephen, give us your website. Tell us where the book's available.
Well, the book's available at any bookstore you can think of, and it's also, of course, on Amazon.com, and 800-CEO-READ. Is where a lot of people are buying it in bulk for Christmas gifting
right.
and that sort of thing.
We like those bulk sales, don't we?
I'm sorry?
We like those bulk sales, don't
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely. And it tis the season, as I say. So it's been great so far this year. My website is www.stephen, with a V, S as in Sterling, Little, littl.com.
I thought that S was for superior.
Or for success, yeah, exactly. And I can promise people this, it'll be like no other website they've ever seen if they've got high-speed access and sound.
Yeah.
It won't be nearly as good as yours, Jim. As far as information goes, man, you've got more. I think I told you last time I saw you, I go to your website when somebody asks me a question I can't answer. Well, I know Jim's got an answer about insurance or profit-sharing plans or something, yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, Steve. And, yeah, StephenSLittle.com Stephen, we were talking about optimism, and you were saying that what people are more likely to ask you to tell you now is that, hey, look, I need you to help me find people. I've got the opportunity. I'm ready to take the leap and go after the opportunity. But how do I find the heads to put these hats on?
That's it. And you know what I find, Jim, and see if you agree. I'm finding that so often people think that hiring, training, the whole idea of the people issue, they see that as the thing that gets in the way of doing their real job. And I'm talking about entrepreneurs now.
Mm-hmm.
They got this
you
real
mean, you
thing
mean
they
the process,
want to do.
The process of acquiring those people.
That's right. The process
yeah.
of acquiring, the process of retaining, the process of training. They see that all as
it's an annoyance, isn't it?
The annoying thing that gets in the way of doing, you know, what I really want to do. And what I try to tell groups every day is, this is your job.
That's
you
right.
know, if you're yeah. going to be the leader of a growth organization anyway. Your job is finding and keeping the best and the brightest people. And so often they say it's hard, but they've made it hard for themselves because they've waited. They have not taken the steps to put the systems in place to get themselves ready when the time comes to need people. And it's hard to play catch up. And
well, the two areas that I've said year after year after year on this show, Steve, is that the two areas that small business owners really need to take a lesson from big companies on, and one of them is marketing, and the other is human resources.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't do the kind of professional level jobs that we should do. Human resources is done after a fashion at best in most small businesses,
that's
we've got to fix that, Steve.
And it sounds so trite to say, but it's so true, which is we are reactive and not proactive. We tend mm-hmm. to be knee-jerk. If somebody quits, we try to fill the position. We see this, how quickly can we get it off the table? How quickly can we get it, you know, solved, quote unquote? You know, I use this example. I literally mean this now. People spend more time evaluating which copy machine to put yeah. in the office for instance, if it's an office environment, right, than they do a hire.
You're exactly right.
And yet a hire is infinitely more expensive.
It's preposterous,
isn't it? Make the wrong one.
Yeah. It's just preposterous.
It is. And so finding those systems, and it's easy to say, you know, systems. What do the people mean? It's everything from how does one attract people? How does one foster calls coming in wanting to work there? What does training really mean? For so many people, training means, I call it push-button training, how to mash the buttons on a machine or our computers or on our telephones, and it doesn't train people on what really matters, which is who buys from us and why do they buy, and why would they buy from us and not somebody else. My training that I recommend to people, 2 months should be spent on who's the customer and what are their unique needs.
Right.
And we can go on
everybody,
all these systems, but they're there.
For everybody you hire, not just the salespeople.
Absolutely.
But the warehouseman and the truck driver.
Absolutely.
All those folks.
Now, you know, I had a sewing room of 150 women at one time in my career in the North Georgia mountains, and every single one of them, well, over the age of 55, you know, and I was a very young man at the time. And it took
a couple
of years.
You got out of there with your life, Steve.
Well, you know, they taught me as much as I taught them. I can promise you that.
I'm just teasing, ladies. I'm just having a little fun here. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, the takeaway for us was oftentimes people tell me, our folks don't really care. They don't want to know. They don't want to know who the customer is and what the customer's unique needs are. And you know what? It's just not true. It's just they're not used to hearing the information at first. Mm-hmm. So the initial reaction might be, what is this? But eventually, every level of the organization thrives on understanding why they get out of bed in the morning. Human beings like to know why they get out of bed. And that sense of purpose and that sense of who we're serving, it goes a long way to, I'm not just putting another thing in a box. I'm getting this out to that new customer we just got in Seattle that has a unique situation that we really can, you know, all benefit from if we can just serve them properly. That helps make the game so much less monotonous and so much more interesting to play.
Well, and you know, how many times would you hear an employer complain about an employee who shows up late or who doesn't come to work on time or all the time when they should, et cetera, et cetera. And the first thing they do is they blame the employee. Well, maybe it's because you didn't give them a good reason to want to come to work.
That's right. No, there's no.
And I know that we ought to think, well, you know, I'm paying them, I'm making payroll here. They ought to be wanting to come to work. But there is the other side, isn't there? It's not just the desire to come. There needs to be a desire, a pulling desire from the company, shouldn't there?
No question. In
fact, should be some gravity.
What's really great is when you don't have to dictate what needs to be done, people start doing things without being asked that are better than or that they reach higher than you would have asked them to reach.
That's ownership, isn't it?
To their own devices. Exactly. And if done properly. And so often people say, yeah, that sounds good. I'm telling you, I run into it every day. I'm with growth companies every day where the answer is always, the reason we're doing this is my people just kept coming up with great ideas on how to get this thing to another level.
They wouldn't leave me alone. They kept giving me these great ideas.
That's right.
Stand by, Steve. Stephen
sure.
S. Little, ladies and gentlemen, the author of the 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. He and I will be right back after these messages. Here's Chicago to take us out. It's Tim Till. We're back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm having a great visit with our good friend Stephen S. Little, the author of the 7 Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. And all of you out there who've heard Stephen speak at a Chamber of Commerce or at another event, hold it, raise your hands. Yeah. Look at him out there, Steve. All those people out there. How many people do you think you've spoken to face-to-face in the last 12 months?
Somewhere.
Are you there, Steve?
Yeah, I'm still here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
It's going to be somewhere in the 15,000 to 20,000 range, something like that.
Yeah, I knew it was something under a million. I just couldn't.
Yeah, it's under a million still, although, you know, the year is not over yet.
That's just for this year, exactly. one of the things that that I love when I go and speak is somebody always teaches me something when I go to these places. Somebody comes up and gives me a great story, a great comment, a great management tip that they've learned, and you get that too, don't you?
Oh, I get it, you know, almost every day, and it doesn't matter where I go either. You know, we tend to, especially you know, we live in a metropolitan area. People think that if you go out to rural America, you're not going to learn anything. And I'll be honest with you, I sometimes find that right now in rural America, there's more going on with entrepreneurship that's interesting.
Oh, there's no question about it.
And so I learned.
That's
I
where the real wisdom is, by the way.
Well, it is. It's that wisdom. And what's also happening is we've got so many, let's say, the graying demographic of this country who has the disposable income to get out of the cities and not have to worry about it.
Right.
They're taking the money into those areas too. So you've
we can work, we can live and work wherever we want these
days. Right. That's right. So we've got ingenuity flowing into places that have wisdom and there's cash flowing in there too. So yeah, when I'm in places like Grand Junction or I was in Dubuque, Iowa recently, and just a fascinating place with incredible things going on, and I'm talking about high tech stuff, Jim. They're building websites, people moving from San Francisco. And
well, I hear, one guy said to me, I said, why are you here? He said, because there are no on-ramps or off-ramps here.
That's great. Well, I had a guy say something to me the other day that was perfect. I was just speaking this week, and I was both in Charlotte and in Greenville, South Carolina, and a gentleman went to both of these events that I was at. He was so enthralled, he brought his people the second day because he kind of lived in between the two. And he came up to me and said, the day that I started really growing, he said, I was growing, but I wasn't growing wisely or profitably. He says, it's the day that I figured out that I was sending a mixed signal to my people. I said, really? What kind of mixed signal were you sending them? And he said, for years, I was telling people that we are one. That we're a team. We're one, baby, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, and then I started to realize that, parenthetically, what I was really doing in my deeds and in my actions was saying to people, and I am the one. So he said,
I'm number one, you're number two.
We are one, and he was telling them that actually I am the one.
Right.
And a lot of people could learn from that.
Well, how did he fix that?
He said as soon as he let go of certain things, his big one was the planning process.
Yeah.
So he said was planning meetings were him and a management team, quote unquote, going off site and deciding what they were going to cram down the throats of the workers, quote unquote. And that the day he said, we're going to make this representative, he'd gotten my book. And I talk a lot about, it's got to be a lot of things, but if nothing else, it's got to represent the organization. It can't be, if it's management team or the families or the owner's plan, then it will never get implemented because there'll be pushback. When we can bring it from the bottom up, then it starts to work. When I talk about my seven rules, my first rule is having a strong sense of purpose. That flows from the top down. That comes from that founder, that owner, that family, that strong sense of purpose. But when it's about the planning, what we're going to do to get to our overall goals, that percolates from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. And letting go of that process was difficult for him. He was in the construction business.
Is not something small business owners are good at anyway.
No, they're definitely not, especially about, coming up with the plan. Because what entrepreneurs do now, if you looked at me right now, I'm always speaking. Even when I'm on the phone, I'm like I'm in front of an audience. Here's what entrepreneurs do. They'll always tell me, Steve, I got a plan, baby. It's all right here. And they put a finger to their temple and say, I got a plan right here in my head. But no one else knows what that plan
is. You can't share that one on paper.
Nope, it's hard to share, and it's hard to update on a regular basis. It's also even hard to remember what you really were saying 18 months ago or 3 years ago. We tend to change our plans a little bit all the time and to where it doesn't resemble anything what it was before. Right. When you have your folks involved in the planning process, then it starts to take on the business starts to take on a life of its own, and you get to help guide it, but you don't have to be responsible
for
every decision.
Thing. It's a beautiful thing when that happens, too.
Stephen,
we're going to have to wrap it up. Give us the website again one more time, please.
It is www.stephen.com, S as in Sterling, Little, LITTLE.com.
Lots of good stuff there, folks. And I know many of you will hear Stephen next year speaking. Some of you will hear him the rest of this year. The book is called The Seven Irrefutable Rules of Small Business Growth. Stephen, thank you for being here. Good job.
Have a great holiday, Jim.
Happy holidays, sir. Stephen,
love
you, gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be tomorrow. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.